Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the Zudio in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys flapping gums and being chums, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast, we're doing another reassumption.
Reassuming.
And this is going to be actually a two-part reassumption because this movie was remade within the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to do the original today. And then next week, we're going to do the remake. And then that's when we'll do the compare and contrast. So if while we're doing this, you're like, why aren't they talking about the latest one? We'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get there.
We will.
But we want to give the OG its own episode because it deserves it. So what are we talking about? We're going to talk about 1981's, now on Netflix, right? Netflix?
Yep.
1981's Clash of the Titans.
Bum, 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 bum. Clash, clash, clash
of the Titans. But before we get into that, we have some breaking nerd news on the week that this is. This is actually the week where Comic-Con would be happening in San Diego.
Yep.
But because of the pandemic, because of the dark times, everything's online, but we're still getting content out there. I want to also say a lot of the vendors who would have been there are running specials and stuff on their websites and everything. So I managed to score some of those Bandai Samurai Star Wars action figures.
Oh, very nice.
For like half price.
Even better.
From a vendor. So if you are into the collectibles of all nerdy stripes, I suggest you find those people running. They usually call it SDCC
yep.
specials or Comic-Con specials, or they're out there.
Right on.
Because they can't be there. And
yeah,
that's where they make their bread and butter. So you need to support them if you like going to the vendors' rooms.
And people like me still need to get their merch fixed. So that's good.
Yeah. So two things we wanted to touch on because we talk about it a lot, and it's all video game news. We just want to touch on two things. So the first part, which has got our whole little squad happening and giddy and crazy, is that this coming Tuesday, Red Dead Online is getting a major update, they're saying.
A major one.
They're not saying a whole bunch. They just said it's a major update. They put a picture out there of a jaguar, which we have never seen a jaguar before.
And a moose.
And a moose with like a trapper-looking guy hunting him, and he's got some equipment that doesn't exist in the game yet. He's got like a hammerless double-barreled shotgun.
Yep.
And like a furry bandolier type thing. And
he's got a unique look to him.
Yeah, he's got stuff that more like, what's that? I don't remember that coat.
Are those clues?
They're clues. And there's going to be a whole new Outlaw Pass, which I'm happy for because that's the bestest.
Oh, it's fun. It's things to achieve and levels to strive for. And this is the second big update this year. Yeah. So seems like they're keeping up with the game, which is good news for us because it's one of our favorites, like we've said repeatedly.
Yeah. And there's supposed to be a new career, too, but no one knows what that is.
The rumors are, because of the animal pictures that they're showing, is that it probably has something to do with either the legendary animals that are in the game, and possibly a trapper role, is what the hubbub I've been reading on like Reddit and Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Oh, and by the way, everyone who dressed like a clown, we appreciate you doing that in protest, but you didn't make this happen. They didn't make the update in 2 weeks because they were upset. You just happened to get upset at about the time they were ready to launch it. And they were obviously waiting for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So, and then the second video game thing is that Halo Infinite had its gameplay reveal.
So good.
And it's super cool looking, even though they're also, again, this is the positivity podcast.
Yes.
We try to combat the toxicity in fandom. And y'all need to chill because a lot of people were like, it doesn't look like it's all done. Some of the rendering looks funny. All this stuff, and immediately the head, I don't know what his name is, but the head programmer of
343
came out and he's like, we understand your concerns. Like immediately, he's like, we understand your concerns, but there's this crazy pandemic that happened in the middle of it. So we're not at the point right now that we wanted to be, but we wanted to show you what we had so far because we planned on showing you this anyway.
Oh, right on.
But we plan on showing it to you much more finished. But because of the pandemic, hey, everybody, those guys are in California. California locked down hard and fast in a long time before a lot of other places did.
Yep, they're slowing down just like the rest of us.
So he was like, we're still working on it. Don't worry. By the time it comes out, it's going to look like you expect it to look. We get it.
Yeah.
They said every day it looks a little better, but they're just not where they were. And the same thing was probably happening with Red Dead.
I'd imagine.
Is that they were probably ready to release that update a while ago. But
for Halo, it said that, I mean, they gave themselves the loose release date of holiday 2020. So yeah. That could be anything.
Yeah.
So, but the gameplay trailer is amazing. I didn't even know there was negative buzz about it just because I was so like, it's a throwback to the first game so, mm-hmm. so much that it's so excited for it.
But grappling hook.
Yeah, grappling hook. And you can throw stuff. And yeah. But those gun sounds, like, it just takes me back. I'm curious.
I agree. Yes.
I'm curious to see what their multiplayer is going to be, because that could be definitely a squad game as well. I'm excited for it.
That's the thing, is there was rumors, there was thought that the word infinite meant that they were going to put like a open world online version out there.
Ooh.
But they kind of pulled back on some of that stuff because, again, probably weren't ready for it. So we'll see what happens. But again, hey, nerds, please... Please be understanding anyway.
Yes.
But even be more understanding in times like this for, you know.
Oh, for sure.
For the love of Zeus.
Especially for a video game that's going to make quarantine easier.
Yes. And speaking of Zeus.
Zeus. By the gods.
By the gods. Clash of the Titans, 1981. Now, Mikey, first thing we ask every time we do our reassumptions, when's the last time you saw this?
Oh, many, many moon ago. But to pinpoint the date would probably be... I think I've seen this once, like all the way through before. And even then it wasn't all the way through because the last time I saw it was like freshman year of high school.
Wow.
When it was like the week before finals and we watched it in one of my English, like we did Greek mythology for about a week, you know, as part of English. So that was like the week before finals. It's like, hey, we're going to watch this movie. But we had to split it up over like class periods because it's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
So high school was the last time I saw this movie.
Interesting. And so for me, I can't remember when the last time I saw it was. It's been a while. But I have to tell you that I'm older than you, because of my age,
yes,
this movie was right in the wheelhouse, and I had the action figures.
Oh, fun.
I had a Perseus action figure. I had to go look it up because I was watching the movie going like, I had that shield. I'm like, how did I have that shield? You know, and so
did He-Man rip it off? No.
Exactly. But then, so then I looked up. I was like, did they make action figures for this? And sure enough. And then as soon as I saw the action figures, it all came flooding back.
That's awesome. I didn't even know that was a thing.
They did. I had Perseus, and they made two of Perseus's brown armored buddies. The guy with the beard, I forget what his name is.
Eamon.
And then I don't know if it was just generic Spartan number two or whatever, but I don't remember. But
of those brush heads.
Yeah, I had Perseus, I had Eamon, and I had Calabas.
Awesome.
Which every time I hear it, I think I'm saying it wrong because it's very close to Carabas, which is the swear from Star Wars Rebels.
It can be both. Just say it real fast, and that way you get away
Calabas.
With it. Yeah.
But anyway, so this is like a childhood movie to me, so I had major nostalgia goggles on, but I don't know if I'd seen this in 25 years, maybe.
I believe it.
Long time. So, get into it. What is Clash of the Titans, Mikey?
What is Clash of the Titans? It's one of my favorite topics. The reason I think I was on board with it in high school was that I'm just a fan of Greek mythology, and that's all this movie is. It tells a retelling of the story of Perseus and his many quests. Very similar to Hercules. I mean, if you've heard a Greek hero's journey, you can sort of plug in the different names, but this one centers on Perseus, and he's the son of Zeus. And Zeus, I forget the setup. Zeus has one of his offspring murdered and punishes.
So, yeah, Perseus is one of the demigods, just like Hercules was.
Yes.
Half human, half god. And they don't shy away from the fun fact that the gods love to have relations with humans and make all these demigods that were running around. And the demigods were usually they were the superheroes of Greek mythology. That's Captain America and all those guys.
Yep, Superman, part man, part god.
So, exactly. Perseus is, basically, what happens is at the beginning, Perseus is the son of Zeus and the prince of Argos. And I can't remember why. Why did the king of Argos have her thrown into the ocean?
I guess just for consorting with the gods. Like,
it was kind of glossed over, wasn't it?
It's one of those Greek offenses. Either it's a crime of love, a crime of passion, or some jilted lover. It's It's just the twist in the soap opera that is Greek mythology.
Yeah, it just basically starts with this like coffin boat, and they just throw baby Perseus and his mom in it, and the guy is like chewing up the scenery. The king of Argos being like, you know, you are banished.
It's a pretty heavy opening for what later becomes more like a fantastical tale. But you're like, all right, we're starting with the coffin in the sea. It's like, what is this, Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it was. It did have a lot of Game of Thrones vibe in that first part right there. Yeah, for sure. So that's how it opens. It's like crying baby and whimpering woman thrown into the ocean in a coffin boat. And then we immediately go to Olympus.
We do. We meet the gods.
And Zeus is played by Sir Laurence Olivier.
Yes, sir.
So, of course, who are you going to get to play Zeus in 1981? Laurence Olivier. What would be better?
Oh, and he is Laurence Olivier turned up to 11 in this movie. Yes. Like him and Charlton Heston, like those old theater guys, it's just they chew the scenery. They take real long pauses before their lines. You can tell they thought it was a theater production that just happened to have like cameras there. But Laurence Olivier, Maggie Smith.
Yeah, I know. Professor McGonagall. I'm like, it's Professor McGonagall when she's like 40.
She's captivating in this movie. She plays the goddess Thestis. There's Poseidon.
And Thestis is, she's like Poseidon's wife, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then there's Aphrodite. I mean, the whole crew is there.
Yeah. The whole pantheon.
Oh, there you go. There's the nerd sent word.
The whole pantheon of the gods is there. And it has that fun. One of the things that struck me as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, I always love that, where Zeus has this like little like amphitheater there. And then all around in little columned arches are all these clay figures.
It was so creepy.
Yeah. And all the clay figures are like figures of, I think they're all demigods and stuff. I don't think he had regular people in there. I think they're all. No, because he had Perseus's mom and she's a human. So I guess everybody is technically in there.
That's my question. That's why I say creepy, because at Olympus, do they really just have a statue of all the mortals that like they can just pick up and play with or have fall off the shelf and die?
Seems like it.
That's so weird.
But he has to take it and move him over to like it's like the amphitheater is where you have to put him to do stuff to him.
Yes.
So it's like Zeus has his own like board game.
Yeah, that's the crux of the movie is they take these little statues and they decide to restore balance to the universe by getting themselves involved with mortals and punishing some and
just meddling with stuff. So it's kind of funny because it really struck me because this is one of those movies that it's very of its time.
Yes.
But not in a bad way. It's really interesting because there's this line where if it went a couple degrees in the wrong direction, this would be a Mystery Science Theater 3000 movie.
Oh, for sure.
But it manages to stay, like, pull itself a little more towards the, like, Star Wars fantasy, space fantasy, the more, like, A-list movie, I guess
you call it. I got you.
Yeah. But even though some of those MST3K movies have, like, an A-list actor in them. But
yeah.
But I think this movie benefits from a really strong cast that kind of lifts the whole, it just lifts the whole movie up.
Yeah, because they're all, like, for the most part, they're all really authentic. I think it's because they're theater people, so they're, like, inhabiting the roles that they're giving, despite being how cheesy it appears on the surface.
It does come off as a stage play. And the thing I'm pointing to, my whole point of where I'm going to is how this could get cheesy, is that Zeus is sitting there on his throne, and he's got, like, these lasers or whatever behind him.
His holy light, yes.
Yeah, whatever. And it looked really cool to me. I'm like, that looks really cool.
Yeah.
But I could see that looking bad in the wrong hands or the wrong, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was very 80s.
It was.
And I could also, but I could see, but it didn't look wrong. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like what they did there.
It fit in with Olympus rather than, like, a Bill and Ted kind of movie.
Yeah. Yes, I see what you're saying. That would be something that Bill and Ted would put in there to make fun of that.
Yeah. Like some guy standing in front of a neon sign, he's like, oh, look, he's holy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but I don't know. I thought that was cool. I thought Laurence Olivier is perfect for Zeus, is perfect casting.
Oh, he's great.
He has that old school gravitas.
Yep,
that you get.
Also, he seems like a wizened, vain god already. So he's like, what? Somebody's trying to defy me? I'm Sir Laurence Olivier.
Yes, exactly. So that was the whole problem, is that he was very upset that his son and one of his many loves was banished. So, well, the only thing we can do now is go ahead and punish that petty king.
Oh, and his whole kingdom.
So, of course, what's the best way to punish a king? What does he order Poseidon to do?
Can I say it?
Yes.
Ready?
release the Kraken!
Is this the first movie where that phrase comes from?
Yes.
Okay.
And it only comes on the second time. The first time, he doesn't say release the Kraken. He says something like, use the Kraken. Or he says something like, or like,
yeah.
He tells him to release the Kraken, but he doesn't say the lines. The second time.
Ah, gotcha.
It's the second time where the Kraken, where he says the words release the Kraken. Because I know this because I was watching with my kids. And the first time he mentioned the Kraken, the kids were like, the Kraken. And they're like, release the Kraken, but he didn't say it. And my kids were like, he didn't say it. And I was like, oh, well. And they're like, is that from the newer movie? And I'm like, I don't think so. Because I remember saying it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, but then when the second time rolls around and he says, release the Kraken, my kids like fell on the floor, basically.
It's a classic line.
Well, it's a meme to this day.
Yeah. But here comes one of Mikey's nitpicks.
Ah.
The Kraken that we got was not the Kraken that I was expecting. I forgot. I guess I didn't remember it from my first view through, but...
You were expecting a giant squid, right?
I was.
Yeah. So were my kids. I remembered it being the evil giant sea monkey.
You mean the ripoff of Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yeah.
Creature from the Black Lagoon's older brother.
With four arms. Yeah, that was funny. But that was the first time we get to see use of Ray Harryhausen. We can't...
Can't talk about this movie and not mention him.
Exactly. So, Ray Harryhausen, who the heck is he? How can you say who the heck is Ray Harryhausen? The reason why the Rancor and all the AT-ATs and all the awesome stuff in Star Wars that stop motion, the reason why they knew they could do stuff like that was because of Ray Harryhausen. So, Ray Harryhausen basically is the pioneer of the stop motion animation, like modeled animation mixed with live action stuff. And a lot of people consider this movie to be his masterpiece, though I will say I prefer Jason the Argonauts from like 63. It's one of his earlier ones.
With the skeletons,
with the
right?
skeletons. I just think that looks neater. I think a lot of that has to do with film quality and the fact that the film in 1963 is a little dirtier. So it kind of mixes together a little bit better.
I got you.
And the thing about this, and I'm going to put this on Front Street, and this might take a pizza off the pizza rating, and this isn't the movie's fault.
Spoiler alert.
But I want to get it out there is that, because you have to know this kind of from the jump when you're going into watching this movie, I think, in my opinion, just
if
you're going to listen to us and then go see it, is that Netflix shows a version that could really use a run through a computer program to kind of regrade everything and re-level everything, rebalance everything. Because this movie was made to look awesome through a projector on film.
Mm-hmm.
It was not made to look awesome on your 4K flat screen television while you're watching Netflix.
Your tablet or device, yes.
Right. So as such, the cutting edge, mind-blowing, awesome stop motion animation mixed with regular people stuff that happens in this movie looks kind of wonky on a modern TV.
It does.
And Mikey probably saw it like on a VHS.
Yeah, VHS and on a CRT TV, yeah.
And all that stuff like blurs it a little. It hides a lot of the rough edges.
It's like the Photoshop blend tool just makes it a little bit softer. Yeah,
because I don't remember it looking that bad. So you know what I did, though, is I went online and I went to see if I could find clips of it that were maybe like just because a lot of people aren't uploading 4K clips or even 1080 clips. And if you find clips of this that are like not in HD, it looks like a million times better.
it's more of a throwback.
It does. It looks a million times better. I found the trailer to the movie.
Oh, fun.
And of course, the trailer was probably never even run through anything. Someone probably just took it and just recorded it off and put it on their computer. Yep. So the trailer, the special effects in the trailer look much different than they did on my TV.
I got you.
So know that if you aren't familiar with Ray Harryhausen and how awesome his stuff was and haven't seen this in its original form or even just VHS form, which is so lo-fi that it blends a lot of stuff, you might be like, this looks kind of crappy because it did look kind of crappy.
You can definitely notice where special effects are used in this movie. Yeah. Like, you can spot them. But that, just to put a little bit of a positive spin on it, like, you can almost see how they made it that way. Like, you can see the process behind it. It's like, oh, that's where the scene is split and... It's kind of cool to see the technical aspects of it. And then it's also Ray Harryhausen, so you get the standard wide shot he does where it's creature versus man, you know, just against that big background. So it's fun to see that, but they are definitely noticeable.
Yeah, I don't think it's money is why they probably don't do it, but I wish someone would take the time and money to just run it. Because, I mean, I know they can fix that super easy.
Yep.
It's not that big of a deal. They don't have to, like, Star Wars Special Edition it. They just need to color grade it and just get the levels so that they match for 4K or HD or whatever you're watching.
Maybe they can talk to Nintendo, because Nintendo does this thing where they do, you can apply a CRT filter to their old games and it'll fuzz everything out a little bit so it looks like you're playing on a CRT TV.
Oh, really? Oh,
so maybe they can do the special edition on Netflix. You can pick which option you want to watch.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to do it. I'd almost like wish I could hook up Netflix to a CRT and see if it looks different.
There you go.
I would think it would, because we've even talked about sometimes if you watch versions of Star Wars, older versions of Star Wars, mm-hmm. but not special edition ones or whatever,
yep.
On a newer TV, you can see the matting
yep.
when the ships fly around and stuff. So, I mean, so much of that is just our technology is so much different than what they had going on back then that they never knew someone would look at it
like this far that. In the yeah. future, yeah, with this much advance in technology.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, I wanted to get that out of the way. Because that is kind of a point, but it's not the movie's fault, because I know that it didn't look like that in the theaters.
Yep. Speaking of Ray Harryhausen, like we talked about his Kraken, which is an awesome design, even though it's not the octopus, the giant squid octopus I was expecting. Then we also get, for the next plot point that leads us into our story, is that we get a giant vulture. I mean, just wicked looking. Looks like something Tim Burton yes. might make or was pull inspiration from.
Yeah, before we get to the vulture, here, we're going to, by the way, kind of spoilers, we're going through the points. I mean, this is Perseus's story. I think they stick fairly faithfully with the actual story.
Yep.
But anyway, I don't think we're going to spoil much, but I like when we do reassumptions. I like to kind of go through certain scenes so we can get to points to talk about whatever we saw in there.
But we
don't have to do the whole movie, but anyway.
Yep.
So Zeus is upset that his girlfriend and his son
yep.
are there. So the Kraken, he releases the Kraken, destroys Argos. That's a fun thing that I'm sure looked better when I was a kid, where the model is crushing down on people. There was one funny thing I saw in there that made me go like, oops,
which was
that could be made fun of in MST3K. Is that one of the, like, there was like a guy, I don't remember if he was pulling a mule or I forget what it was, but there was in the people of Argos are running around and their city's getting destroyed by waves and the Kraken.
Yep.
And there's a guy, they got a fan machine or whatever blowing, and the guy's like tunic or toga or whatever it is, it kind of blows up a little, and you can clearly see like 1980s era basketball shorts.
Oh, hilarious.
Like the with the, like the white piping. You know what I mean? I was like, oops.
Yeah. Bound to happen, but that is hilarious. Basketball shorts.
I was like, oh, look at that. Boston Celtics.
Yeah, the action scenes are like, the scope of them is so big, but because it's that matting and the weird effect, it's just like, is the scale weird? Is Poseidon behind like a glass and he has a fan blowing on him to be underwater? Oh, it's so silly.
I know. I'm telling you, though, that stuff's in the trailer. The destruction of Argos is in the trailer.
Okay.
And when I saw it, it looked way better. That's what looked way better to me. It wasn't like way better, but it looked way better than it does on our flat screen TVs.
I got you.
So anyway, after he does that, Zeus commands Poseidon to set them down on a safe place.
Perseus and his mom.
So then immediately we get, this is fun. This movie's PG, everybody, but it has full nudity in it.
Oh, yes.
Like, let's watch a baby breastfeed, and then let's watch that same lovely woman walk down the beach totally naked with a naked little boy next to her, too. Why not?
It's because it's Greece.
and so my kids have learned this term now, 80s PG.
Yes.
There's such a thing as 80s PG. And we also learned it, too, last night, because it's the 40th anniversary. We watched, because I'm like, you guys are ready for it. We watched the movie Airplane.
Oh, yes.
And Airplane has a set of breasts right in the middle of it, too.
It does.
But that movie's PG.
It is.
And it's blatant and exploitive and like crazy in Airplane when it shows up. And they're like, what is happening? And I'm like, 80s PG. And they're like, 80s PG. Yeah. And what's so funny is that kind of stuff led to the creation of PG-13.
Yep.
But PG-13 doesn't even really show nudity anymore.
I think it changed the whole system when they introduced it, but yeah, it's like so, it tamed everything down.
I know, isn't that funny? It's so funny to me, because I'd be like, this movie wouldn't even be PG-13 now.
Yes.
So it was just funny to me. I just had to mention that because it was a stop down. It was like, what is going on? This movie's PG. And then I was like, how the heck was I allowed to see this? But whatever. Oh, well, yep. I saw it.
We saw it in school.
Right?
Yeah.
Same thing with, that's also in Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, the original one.
It's art at that point. Yeah. We're learning about literature.
Yeah, it's art at that point. So anyway, that was funny. Perseus grows up nicely, sweetly on this island, and they do the montage of, like, this is how he knows how to do things later.
Yeah, action montage. Yeah. He's growing as a person.
We gotta get a montage. So that's wonderful, because an 80s movie without a montage is not an 80s movie.
Oh, not, yeah.
Yes, so. And
I think there's probably two or three of them in here that are pretty ridiculous, but.
It's a montage.
I'm gonna bring up, since we're talking about Perseus, I have one point to make, and then we can transition into, but yeah, Perseus, he's played by Harry Hamlin, who is a face. He's one of those guys like, hey, I know that face. But here's the trivia I got from the internet. The role was offered to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, no.
But he turned it down because it had too much dialogue.
Well, yeah.
There you go. But the random question I wanted to ask you, who would you put in that role if off the top of your dome? Is there any like 80s movie star you would put there? Because all I kept seeing for me, David Hasselhoff would have been hilarious in this movie. That's all I could see.
Hasselhoff would have been, yeah, but then it would be an MST3K movie. Sorry, Hasselhoff.
Yep.
It would. Yeah, I don't know who would. Harry Hamlin did a fine job here, but he has like one facial expression through the whole movie.
And it's kind of confused.
And that kind of threw me off because like whether he was like happy or upset or angry, it was just like, it was like he knew what his handsome face looked like, so he didn't want to diverge from his handsome face very much.
Yeah, it's like
he needed to stay handsome.
Yeah, it's like Zoolander in Blue Steel. He's like, oh, here it comes.
it's totally Blue Steel. Oh my gosh, you are so right. You're sorry. That's the one. That's my one knock on Harry Hamlin is that it was just like, are you gonna I'm in love. Same face. I'm upset. Same face. I'm a little scared. Same face.
Disappointed. Same face.
Yeah. Kevin Sorbo would have been fine, but he was little at the time.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Hasselhoff would have probably made an MC. Maybe a young Tom Selleck could have probably.
There you go.
He would have shaved his mustache, though, so that's probably why he would never do it.
But he could rock that Perseus hair for sure.
So, for sure. But yeah, I mean, there's a number of them who could have done it fine.
I just can't believe it was offered to Arnold. That would have been hilarious.
My gosh. Too much. That's when he could barely speak English, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Gosh.
But Perseus grows up and we continue on with the hero's journey.
Yeah, so here's where we get the crux of it. And this, I wouldn't say this movie goes slow. It doesn't go slow.
I would.
Okay.
But
I guess I'm used to the pace of an 80s movie.
Yes.
It goes at the pace of a successful movie from 1981.
Very much so.
So there you go.
Yes.
And yeah, it's not constant action all the time. but anyway, this is where we get to the crux. This is kind of like the whole, how the hero's journey begins. So yep. Thestis has her own demigod son.
Yep.
Who is engaged to the beautiful Andromeda.
Ooh.
Who's the daughter of Cassiopeia. I'm just going to keep naming like constellations.
Spoiler right? alert.
And so it's just funny to me because these words are so well known to us.
Yes.
Like, because when you go through science class or whatever,
yeah.
Every space mission and stuff,
you forget that there's actual characters.
Yeah, you forget like, oh yeah, these are named after gods.
Andromeda, isn't that a spaceship? Oh, it's a person.
Yeah. Isn't that a place? That was a video game. So anyway. Calabas was just a bad dude,
yep.
Was an affront to the gods. Zeus didn't like him. And so Zeus is like, I'm going to punish him, and I'm going to basically turn him into like a Satan-looking creature, a demon, basically. Yep.
Almost Tim Curry's the devil, but not quite.
Yes. And so we get this cool animation where he takes his clay figure, and we get Ray Harryhausen goes in there and makes the clay figure like morph into and get the shadow turning into the...
Oh, it's awesome.
It's awesome. And then, of course, Thestis is all angry because that's her son.
Of course.
How dare you just... How can I get back at Zeus? So while Zeus has his back turned, she grabs the Perseus off the wall. I didn't know the other gods were allowed to touch it, but whatever. And
the creepy little statues of everybody.
Yeah, and throws him into the arena and transports him to an arena.
Bloop.
An abandoned, haunted arena somewhere.
Yes.
And that's where we get to meet Mikey in the future.
Oh, it is me in the future.
Oh my gosh.
Burgess Meredith, man.
Burgess Meredith.
He rocks it. It's the step in the hero's journey where you meet the old wise guy mentor, like the coach, the trainer, the guy that's going to set you on the path.
Yeah, well, he's Rocky's trainer.
Exactly. But now he's training in old Greece.
He didn't have a beard in Rocky, did he?
No.
No, it was the beard that makes him look like Future Mikey.
Yep, and the little leaflet. Because I wear the Greek leaflet around the crown of my head as well when I'm feeling fancy.
Oh, my goodness. So this is a haunted abandoned amphitheater that isn't really haunted at all, but Burgess Meredith's character makes it seem haunted to keep people away because he wants to be a hermit, basically. Yeah.
Get off my lawn. Get off my arena.
Right. And this is where it's like this is where they told Harry Hamlin, you're confused. So his confused face worked very well in this section, but then he never lost his confused face.
Yep. It just stayed perpetual. I think it got stuck.
Right. But this is where Zeus finds that he's been sent there and he's like, oh no, what are we going to do? He's going to get home or whatever. And so he like, all right, we're going to give him godly gifts.
Yes.
So he gets his shield that I remember from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the sword that's so shiny. It looks like it came from Party City.
And it can cut marble.
Yes. And then he gets the super cool Athena helmet that makes you go invisible when you put it on.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Now that part, what? Oh, yes, go.
Do you have a quibble with the helmet? Because I have a quibble with the helmet.
I don't have a quibble with the helmet. I like that the helmet makes him go invisible, and I really like how they did the footprint parts. That was like classic Hollywood, old school. I kind of think I know how they do it, but it still looks awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just the little pulling out the depressions. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. They just backwards pulled them down.
And in the abstract, that's how invisibility should be. There should be some drawback that you have to either account for or, you know, mitigate around. Mm-hmm. But maybe this is me being stupid, but he never wears the helmet right. Like, am I dumb? And there are eye holes in the helmet.
Yeah, but those are decorative.
They are.
They used to make helmets like that.
So they don't go over, they aren't, he isn't supposed to wear the eye holes over his eyes.
No, that's actually, so.
That made me so mad.
Hey, wait, I'm going to make you feel better because I'm going to push up my nerd glasses.
Please.
And then I'm going to tell you that they literally had helmets like that back then.
I believe it.
In ancient times, that was purely decorative up there. The thing with the eye holes, mm-hmm. it couldn't pull down.
Okay.
I don't know why they did that, but they did do that. That exists. Those exist. You can find them in museums.
Oh, okay.
Where it just has a decorative goggles up at the top.
Okay. As long as they're decorative.
It's weird. I don't get it. But what's funny is that when I saw that, I was the opposite. I was like, oh, it's one of those helmets that has the fake eye holes on the top.
There you go.
Yeah. Weird, right?
I thought he was just being a dude bro and just wearing it like cocked back a little bit. I'm like, pull it over your face.
No. I don't know why they did that. I'm sure that if you're a history major and know why they made helmets like that, but they didn't make helmets where it was a purely decorative part up top there.
It probably was some strategic intimidation thing. When you hold your shield up, it's like still eyes looking at you or something.
Maybe. I think that it's because they used to just kind of flip it back anyway.
Oh, gotcha.
On the backside of their head and not pull it down over their nose. So maybe they just built the helmet that way. I don't know.
Well, then I'm in the wrong and I take back my quibble.
So, no, yeah. It's and I think that there's statues of Athena that actually have that helmet on.
Oh, that's
it,
true. That's like true. That. Yep, I've seen those.
So
the golden ones where she's holding all her weapons.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway.
But he gets his gifts from the gods.
Yeah, and then he heads off to the nearest town. I don't remember why, but he does, so who cares?
I think he heard tale of, did somebody say about Andromeda? Or is it just chance that he shows up there and she's there?
No, there is something where he tells him, and he just is like, this must be my destiny. And, you know, sorry. I can't.
That was great.
Back to the Future.
That was great.
but yeah, he heads there, and then we get to see the latest suitor of Andromeda being like roasted at the stake.
Yeah, burned alive.
It was the model that they had up there on the stake was weird looking to me. I was like, I don't know if that's what people look like when they get burned, but whatever.
It's the best we could afford on the budget.
It was pretty gross looking.
It was.
And he runs into Thallo. It was awesome because the 80s perm hair and it looked like statues from back then. But anyway.
Yep.
And he's just like, it's funny because I was watching it going like, oh man, this is like the exposition is just for you in the audience, but also for Perseus.
Yeah.
But he just had this whole expositional thing where he's like, I'm going to explain to you everything that's happening. So you see, look here, there's this princess Andromeda, and she's super beautiful, but she's kept up in that tower right there, and no one's allowed to go in there.
Yep. So don't go thinking now.
Yeah, especially if you have an invisibility helmet. And people try to marry her because she's so beautiful, but they have to answer a riddle. And if they get the riddle wrong, this is what happens to them. So whatever you do, don't go up to that tower. See that window right there?
Don't go there.
Don't go. That window. No, not that one. No, the tower on the right. That's basically, it was so... I mean, if I was doing a parody this movie, I'd totally do that because it was so funny to me where I'm just watching. I'm like, this guy, this stranger, he's like, huh, new in town? And he's like, yes, I'm from somewhere else. And
let me tell you everything I know about this town.
Basically what it was. It was like, is this guy like a guard or is he like give tours as well? You know?
It's like Chris Farley in Wayne's World. It's this, the overly informative driver security guard.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. It was like, I was fully expecting him to pull one of those, like, move along, but he's like, here, let me tell you exactly what's happening for the sake of the movie. Anyway, it didn't bump me, it made me smile.
Yeah.
It should, I don't know, it may annoy people, might make people take a slice off, but for me it was like, I don't know. That's hilarious.
It's
to
great.
Me.
It's that's how theater works. It's like, here's the setup for this scene.
You're right. Again, like theater. Yes, it was very much like theater.
Yeah.
Yes.
Attendee and listen. Here's this new town that you have come across. Would you like to know more?
And that, this is where we get to meet the crazy vulture.
Yes.
Because Creeper Perseus is like, oh, there's a hot chick up in that tower.
Let me just go stand in her room while she's sleeping and look confused.
I know. Oh, my goodness gracious.
But a different time, but...
It was a different time because you could have written that much less creepy, whereas you could have easily had him just notice that weird bird flying towards it and being like...
Let me go check it out. Maybe she's in danger.
Exactly. But instead it was just like, well, there's a hunt chick up in that tower. I've got invisibility.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what I've always wanted to do with invisibility?
Let me go sneak past this door real quick. That is almost traditional Greek mythology, though, because they were always doing like trickster stuff like that, too.
It's true, though. You're kind of right. In Greek mythology, the guy going like, maybe I can get a look at her bathing. That's not that's not unlike Greek mythology.
Zeus has been how many animals just to trick a woman? Ugh.
Oh, yeah. You're right. It's true. Okay. You know what? Now I give it a pass. No, I give it a pass now.
It's authentic. It's literature.
It is authentic to Greek mythology.
But it's love at first sight. But he notices that Andromeda is getting kidnapped by that awesome-looking vulture.
Her spirit's getting kidnapped and put into a gilded cage. That crazy screaming vulture. That thing, I think that scared me when I was a kid because I had a visceral reaction to it.
Yep.
Like, I have no reason to be scared of a puppet vulture in there. And I wasn't scared, but I was just kind of like, its screech really kind of like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Oh, it was very monstrous. I thought that was, I was thinking along the lines you were. But then a scene towards the end of the movie like gave me childhood flashbacks. I was like, holy crap, I've seen this before. This is burned in my brain. But
wow.
A vulture, yes.
So the vulture is taking Andromeda's spirit to go visit Calabas, which...
Dun, dun, dun.
How he has the powers to do this, what, a demigod, I guess? I don't know.
Well, yeah, because if his mom is Thestis, that means, yep.
So I guess, but whatever. And... That's where we get to see the creepy swamp because he has to follow the bird, and that's when Amon tells him, like, the only way to get there is if you have something else that flies. So
cue the TriStar Pictures logo.
I know. The TriStar Pictures Pegasus. Oh, let's go catch the Pegasus.
It looked like they used the B-roll from that shoot for every... It's great. You know, it's computer graphics, I guess, on top of a matte painting, but...
Whew. Yeah. And that was another funny thing that happened there where, so he puts, this takes a topping off the pizza to me because he puts on the magic disappear helmet and then Amon hands him the rope.
And the rope is just floating there. The
rope is floating around. I was like, well, his clothes all disappeared. I'm like, why doesn't the rope disappear? And then one of my kids goes, well, he got handed the rope. And I'm like, okay, is that how that works?
So if he was holding the rope and then put on the helmet, the rope would be gone too?
I guess so.
Bad planning.
I know, but whatever. So it's poor Pegasus is like, is that a rope floating over there? Ah, my neck! You know?
That's great.
But they like did it animated. It was like an animated silhouette of him fighting with the Pegasus. That was pretty cool. So he catches Pegasus so he can go fly to the creepy swamp.
Yes.
Which in
Dagobah. No,
yeah, the swamp in Greece that has American alligators in it. And then, like, my kids were like, "Is that a gibbon?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's a gibbon noise."
Yeah,
in the Greek swamp,
those are the animals they had on the back lot that day. So
I know. Oh, whatever. So silly. But anyway, if you're gonna let that pull you out, then you're not watching a theater play, theater production. But this is where we get to see one of the other. We just saw, we got to see the Kraken at the beginning. We got to see the cool Pegasus stuff.
Yes.
Ray Harryhausen, we're at Ray Harryhausen's hits here.
Yep.
And now we get to see Calabas, which is that they did this crazy mixing of a guy in a costume and the Calabas little action figure guy thing.
Yep.
Which my kids went, why are they doing that? And it's because they want to do a tail, I think. I think it was just for the tail.
The tail and the whipping, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's cheaper than having to train an actor how to use a whip. And I guess the prosthetics, like, it was easier to do the CGI rather than prosthetics.
Yeah, I don't think that they could have done a tail that would work like that. So they did it with the little action figure. I call it an action figure because that's what it seemed like to me. Like the coolest action figure ever.
Yep, the little claymation model. But they do a good job splitting it up. I mean, it is essentially, it's an actor when he needs to speak. And then for like any action scenes, it's the yeah. CGI. So.
Yeah, it didn't bump me too much. I thought it was kind of neat, actually, mm-hmm. how they did it. And they didn't try to make, like, the stop-motion thing talk.
Yeah, they didn't try and do voiceovers or sync-ups. That would have been weird.
It would have been weird. But Calabas is smart. Another demigod, he noticed the footprints.
Dun-dun-dun.
So he follows Perseus out, and then they fight. And Perseus does the A number one dumb thing that heroes do.
Which is?
He didn't kill the villain.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He spared his life.
He cut his hand off and then felt bad about it and then spared his life. And all he did was give him an awesome place to put a pitchfork.
But still, I mean, he lost a hand in a PG movie. And then he brings the hand to the court and he's like, I have the ring of Calabas. And he throws down the hand and it sticks there real fast.
I know. But it was so Star Wars Cantina, hand on the floor.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
But he should have killed the bad guy. He would have saved himself a lot of trouble.
But anyway, because the Ring of Calabas was the answer to the riddle.
Yes.
Because he went back. Because it's funny. It was so... you're right. I didn't even think about it until now, until you said it. It is so theater.
Yeah.
Where she's like, will no man come and try to marry my daughter?
Yeah.
And then it's like... boom, and the doors open, and here comes Perseus in with his little bag, and he's like, I will, you know what I mean?
Also, I have a hand from a monster.
Yes.
That, and they do, like, it's theater, it's soap opera, but when they're, like, declaring their love for each other, there's a lot of cheek touching and then turning away and, like, facing stage or facing stage left, you know? It's like, we can't, but I must, but you can't, but I must. Yes. It's wonderful.
It's great. And then, the answer to the riddle is Calabas's ring.
Yes.
Which he just happens to have in the bag. So he has it in the bag.
He's got it.
So guess what? Oh yeah, you get to marry her. Awesome! And they're like, everyone's happy, hooray! And then Maggie Smith's head falls on them.
The statue comes alive.
Yes, the statue of Maggie Smith, which really looked a lot like her. The sculptors did a really good job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it also made me go, wow, they really know what their goddess looks like.
But then it's also a little bit of like the Marlon Brando from Superman. Like it's that Fortress of Solitude almost hologram look.
Yeah.
Olympus looks like it was the Fortress of Solitude redressed from the B-set. But I'm on board with both things. But it is funny to just see this giant statue head talk and everybody's freaking out. It's like, you can't even see that.
Yes. And it's like, so basically Festus tells them, you've defied me because you said that your daughter's prettier than me, even.
Oh, I am vain and you have offended my honor.
I'm vain, you've offended me, and as such, you're going to get destroyed unless you can figure out how to defeat the Kraken. She doesn't really say that. She just says you're going to be destroyed.
Yep, but it's implied. They have 30 days.
Unless you sacrifice your daughter.
That's right.
What it is. It's the sacrifice. Sacrifice her to the Kraken or the Kraken will destroy
your city.
That's it. There we go.
Bingo.
So then, of course, Perseus is like, man... I just met you. Now you're going to get eaten by the Kraken?
I just met you. I know this sounds crazy, but here's my invisible helmet. So
I'm going to go figure out a way to save you. And we only have 30 days. So Perseus, now fully owning that he's a prince, the Prince of Argos.
Yes.
Prince Perseus of Argos. I'll save you, princess. And then we get another one of those fun 80s things.
Another montage?
No, another thing where, again, and now I'm not going to say this movie's perfect in that regard because it is based on a Greek myth, but they did try to do a little bit of, she's like, I'm going with you. Andromeda's like, I'm going with you. And he's like, you can't go with me. And she's like, I'm going with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then she goes with him. That kind of surprised me because that was a very kind of, I don't know, modern move, you know, forward movement. Because, you know, generally, the princess just stays in the tower.
Yeah. You need to be protected.
Now, later he does ditch her, which is very 80s. But he has to do the thing. He has to do the very doodly thing of like, she's going to want to go to get Medusa. And I can't. She's going to get hurt. So I'm just going to, when she's sleeping, okay, guys? When she's asleep, she's a heavy sleeper. We'll take off. You know? Because I don't want to hear. You're going to hear it, though, Perseus. Yeah, but hopefully by that time, I'll have Medusa's head.
The old ball and chain. Am I right, fellas?
So he has to figure out how to, and this is classic Greek stuff. I love seeing this stuff anytime, anywhere. He has to figure out how do you defeat a Kraken, and they're like, oh, the old hags will know. The oracles, is that what they were?
Muses?
No, they're not.
Oh, the oracle, yeah.
They're called the oracles, right? Is that what they are?
The Strygian sisters.
That's what they're called, the Strygian sisters. Oracles are something different, you're right.
But same basic concept.
Yeah, but no, those witches are a specific thing in Greek mythology.
Yep.
So they're those three witches that share one eye.
Yep.
And in this case, my boys were disappointed because they're fans of the Lightning Thief series, which uses all these
Percy Jackson.
Gods, Percy Jackson, all the Greek gods. And the sisters show up in that, and the eye is an actual eyeball they have to shove into their head. But in this case, it was just like a really cool crystal ball that you buy at like Sharper Image or something.
A kaleidoscope crystal ball from Spencer's Gifts or something. Spencer's.
Yeah. But anyway, it worked like it was supposed to work.
Yeah, and they do the funny bit that I know the bit, not from Clash of the Titans, but because so many like cartoons and sitcoms have ripped it, like that deal with some sort of Oracle or Muse character that has this sort of calamity, they deal with it where like he tricks them by, you know, taking the eye and sort of making them dance around for it to get his way.
And he gets he gets the eye from his buddy, who we didn't even introduce yet.
Bubbo.
So Perseus lost his sword in the swamp. So Zeus was like, hey, man, he's losing some of his gifts on this quest. He needs another gift. And he's like, hey, Athena, come here. Give him your owl. And she's like,
never.
Yeah, she's like, no, I'm not giving him my owl. And he's like, I want you to do it. And she's like, And then, like, when Zeus's back is turned, she's like, I'm never giving you up, owl.
Never.
My owl. So she goes down to see Hephaestus.
Hephaestus. So cool to see him.
So, yes. And
he's one of my favorites from mythology.
I know. He is. Later becomes Vulcan in the Roman version of him.
Yeah. The metal worker, the forger.
And she's like, make me another owl so I can obey Zeus but not obey him.
I got you.
So he makes Bobo, who's basically C3R2D. Towel.
Yes, he's the popular, he's the droid from popular culture mashed together in one easy access form.
Yes, he literally is like a little mechanical owl that
Wonderful.
Flies around and is literally, he acts like R2-D2, whistles like R2-D2, but looks kind of like C-3PO.
He's like steampunky. Oh.
Yes.
One quick point about Hephaestus. In that movie, he was played by Pat Roach, who plays the giant naked Nazi that fights Indiana Jones in front of a plane
what?
In Raiders of the Lost
no
Ark.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. Random
That's
trivia.
Cool. No, it's good trivia. That's great trivia. So the thing about Bobo is that this movie came out in 81.
Yes.
1 year after Empire Strikes Back came out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 6 years into, 7 years in? No, six.
Three.
6 years into Star Wars. Wait, no. Three, seven. Plus three, eight, four. 4 years.
Bingo.
4 years into Star Wars existing, and 4 years into Star Wars becoming the phenomenon that it did. That it did. And as such, you can kind of see someone at some point kind of went, hey, this story is kind of like Star Wars.
Yes.
So can we make this story?
Hero's journey, you say.
Yeah, hero's journey, you say. Yeah. Oh, David Campbell, you say. Yeah, yes. And it's like, how do we make this? How do we make a Greek thing like Star Wars in this like robot owl? he's a droid, 100%.
Absolutely, droid owl.
So yeah, it's obvious, but I don't mind.
Yeah,
but it's obvious.
Here's a spoiler, I guess. Whatever. But he also takes on the R2-D2 homage in that he's also the one that saves the movie like multiple times.
Well, yeah, he's the one who gets the eye.
Yep,
he flies in and gets the eye. Perseus is distracting him with his face that looks the same, but is really handsome. Because they're like, I want to see him. And it's like, now, Bobo. And it's like, here's the eye. And he's like, I have the eye, and I'm going to destroy it if you don't tell me how to defeat it. And then they're like, go get Medusa's head.
Go find the Gorgon.
Yes. And then we hit probably the most famous, this is going to be the most famous part of this movie.
Absolutely.
Ray Harryhausen at the height of his powers. This is what his masterpiece is. The whole Medusa scene is awesome. I still love it to this day. What did you think of the Medusa scene?
I love it, but earlier when I mentioned there was a scene that's burned into my brain from like childhood, it's this whole montage.
Oh, it's the Medusa scene?
It's a little bit scary. It's a little bit like suspenseful and tension, but just the design of Medusa and the red like Temple of Doom looking catacombs that they're in. Oh, iconic.
Yes, it was so good. So it's funny that there's a couple of like the red shirts in there with them. There's like, none of these guys are making it out. I know they're not. They're not even showing their face.
Nope. Some guys got to die because they have to show that Medusa can shoot arrows. And some guy has to die because they have to show how her eyes work.
Yeah.
But they do the cool like Bela Lugosi like vampire lighting where you just, the lighting is only on her eyes and everything else is in shadow. And you're like, ooh, bad guy.
Yes. Yeah, it's great. It's classic. That is movie history in my mind. So worth the price of admission for the whole movie. Worth the price of admission is the whole Medusa fight scene and everything.
Yep.
And once he gets Medusa's head, there's so many jokes that we weren't trying to MST3K this movie at home, but there's some funny parts you can think of where he's like, oh, I got it. Awesome. You know,
what's the big deal about her eyes anyway? Oh crap. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, but they did a good job of not making him like... it could have easily been a mistake the movie makers made to have him like look over at it to grab it.
Yeah. But
they made sure that he was
avoiding his gaze.
Yeah, avoiding his gaze. So, hey, man, there we go. That's what you need to get. Medusa's head. You can turn the Kraken into stone.
Yeah, side quest complete. You can now complete the main quest.
Yeah, so then he heads back to Fallow and the other brown armored guys who didn't die. And then that's where we have the return of Calabas.
Ooh.
Should have killed him. He shows up with the fork on his hand.
We could have done this movie in two acts, but no.
No. And, of course, Calabas obviously had read his demigod handbook much more than Perseus did. Because Perseus seems to not know what the heck is going on. He's confused all the time. And Amon has to tell him everything.
Everything.
Whereas Calabas is like, oh, if I stick my fork hand into Medusa's head, it's going to make giant scorpions that'll kill these guys. Okay.
Out of that fake blood I love that fake blood. Just looks like old craft paint.
I know. It looked like marinara sauce. Yeah. It was so thick.
So bright red.
Oh, man. I think they might have filmed some of it in Italy. Maybe they did get marinara sauce.
There you go.
It's like, We need that blood that's made out of corn syrup. We don't have any of that here in Italy.
Dario Argento stopped by and he's like, here, I have buckets of blood.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But yeah, it was the scorpion fight. You got to get in that Ray Harryhausen man versus creature, like wide shot. That's the classic scene.
It was great. That was the fight I wished would have been regraded most because it was a daytime fight. So it really, because a lot the Medusa stuff, the lot of stuff was kind of hidden because it was all lit, you know, eerily and stuff, and the vulture was at night, and so was Pegasus, but this was like daylight,
absolutely,
and as such, it kind of was obvious, but there were so many cool things happening in it. Like there's literally a part where one of the guys swings and hits the claw of a scorpion, and the claw comes off, and it was done perfectly, and it made me go, oh, I wish this was color matched better so it would look super awesome.
Yeah, because like the fight itself is really nicely synced up.
Yeah.
I mean, even Perseus grabs the tail of one and cuts it off, you know, even though those two elements aren't actually interacting. Yes.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then, of course, he finally dispatches Calabas this time. He realizes, maybe I should get rid of him. But then Calabas slowed him up enough. It's too late.
Dun, dun, dun. 30 days have passed.
30 days have passed. And Dromana's being attached to the giant rock. What would we do?
King Kong will be, the Kraken will be here any minute.
It's like they made the action figure of King Kong aquatic action figure.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
aqua version. Yeah, so of course this is the ultimate crux of it. She's attached to the rock and everyone's there and like, oh no, she's being sacrificed to save the thing. And oh, Perseus, hurry up. You know, everybody died, though. They killed everybody. It was old Perseus and Pegasus that were all that were left.
Yep, it's true.
That was crazy.
And it took him like 8 minutes of a montage to fly in towards the Kraken, and he looked so bored flying in. He's just like, I'm on a flying horse, I guess. But he makes it there after about 12 minutes.
It did take forever. But Bobo came in and tried to slow down the Kraken.
He saves the day. He distracts the Kraken, and he retrieves Medusa's head when Perseus the dummy drops it in the water. Yeah.
But this was the part, too. This before that. This was the part where Zeus said, release the Kraken.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Release the Kraken!
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. Perseus just flies too close to the thing and falls off. I don't remember. That was like a whoa.
It's an 80s movie and I've got putter fingers. What an inopportune time for this to happen.
Whoa. We didn't have saddles yet. Yipes.
Yep.
Oh my goodness gracious.
But then Bubo saves the day.
Yeah, Bubo saves the day and gives him the head of Medusa. Which, again, this is one of those things where it was like, pull it out the right way.
Yeah.
Like, you got to feel around for where the nose is and make sure you're holding it up the right way.
Yeah, don't hold it like a bowling ball. That's
just be funny. Like, pulls it out. Oh, it's looking right at me. Oh, womp womp.
Or, like, if it was, like, a cheesy satire, he turns it towards, like, the village. And, like, you just see a line of people turn to stone. He's like, oh, sorry, I meant to turn it the other way.
Oops. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, it's a happy ending demigod wins story anyway. So
it is.
You get the head works, and there you go.
The hero saves the day, the town, and the village.
So it was a nice, I noticed it was like, good catch, Harry Hamlin. They, like, toss him the keys.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the guys are like, here you go. It's like, don't, you can unlock it, right? We'll just stay over here.
Yeah.
We don't know what else is going to come out of that water.
It's all you. You're doing a great job so far. We believe in you.
They toss him the keys like, here, you're driving.
Yeah. Another funny beat at the end is they do that, the typical ending, like, side character thing where you think Bubo gets hurt and the Pegasus goes in the water. So you think they're both out of commission, but the owl comes back, but Pegasus comes shooting out of the water, and for a second, because I didn't remember how it ended up with him, he just starts flying away. So it's almost like, all right, like, screw you guys. I didn't want to be a part of any of this. And it looks like he's just taking off to the horizon. He ends up coming back, but I was like, oh, man, the Pegasus is just leaving. That was amazing.
Deuces.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing, you invisible jerk.
Oh, my goodness. And then we get that nice end thing where they let, and they were put into the sky, and it shows the constellations and stuff.
So they could live forever.
Forever. Oh, Laurence Olivier. I guess it was him doing it.
I believe it.
That was it, man. Clash of the Titans, 1981. Pizza ratings.
Pizza ratings.
Out of 8 slices of pizza, Mikey.
You going first? Who's going first? I'll go first.
You go first, man.
Okay.
You go first.
Out of 8 slices. So this movie is a 1981 movie that is 2 hours long. In my brain, that is like a 2000-year movie that's 3 hours long, like an extended Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
So it is fantasy. It's a big epic story. So this could go either two ways, but this movie, like, it's long in scenes and edits and cuts. Like, there's montages in there that's like, we watch them climb a mountain for about 7 minutes. Like, cool. Real good job climbing that mountain, guys. But if you're watching it with friends, that's plenty of time to MST3K it,
true,
you know,
yes.
And still enjoy it. So for me, it was noticeably slow. I was just like, oh, let's go. I know what's happening. Quit looking confused and get on the horse. But that being said, we have Laurence Olivier, Maggie Smith, like all these talented people that are bringing the authenticity like we were saying to it. And it elevates it from what could have been like a cheesy matinee movie to a blockbuster, like the smash success that it was. Plus that Medusa scene, I'll never forget that. I couldn't have told you the movie, but I would have been like, oh yeah, the Medusa, Red Room, scary. I had nightmares. So I'm going to put it at about, I will say, at 5 slices.
5 slices of pizza.
Yeah, but with a bunch of toppings on there for Ray Harryhausen, for the owl, for Eamon. Like, there's a lot of really enjoyable moments.
Yes, 5 slices, that's respectable. All right, for me, This was one that scared me. I had nostalgia goggles on going into this one. I hadn't seen it in a long time. I didn't know what would happen.
Yeah.
But I will tell you right now that it lived up to expectations. I'm not going to like go crazy and say this was Star Wars was. Gotcha. But the knocks on it, I can look past. Sometimes some movies you can't look past any of the knocks on it. And this one I can. I really wish someone would take this and remaster it to make everything match up better.
Oh, that would be awesome.
But I give this 6 out of 8 slices of pizza.
Nice.
Because it was just any of the slices that are coming off are just for, yeah, could use a little editing, but hey, it's 81.
And, exactly.
And yeah, the stuff was a little, some of the stuff looked a little wonky, but I think that has more to do with our TVs versus what stuff was like back then. But 6 out of 8. I really, really enjoyed it. It was fun to watch. I think I'd watch it again.
Oh, I would watch it again for sure.
So Clash of the Titans, 1981. Everybody let us know. Hit us up on the socials. Let us know what you think about Clash of the Titans. Go watch it. I recommend it.
Let us know what your pizza rating is.
And next week, we are going to watch the 2010 Clash of the Titans remake of this movie.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which is weird to call a remake of a Greek story, because technically the 1981 was a remake of
They're all remakes.
Yeah, technically they are. I'm expecting that one to be much faster paced.
Yep.
Because here's the thing. I haven't seen it.
Oh, ever?
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I haven't seen the 2010 version.
I'll say this loosely. I've seen it before, and I am genuinely a fan before my rewatch, so we'll see if my rewatch changes that.
Yes, yeah, so the movie came out 10 years ago, so it is in a reassumption window, I believe.
Yes.
So we will watch it, and we'll let you guys know. But before we do, we want you guys to let us know what you think. You can hit us up on all the social medias at AssumingPod. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also Gmail us, assumingpositions@gmail.com.
.com.
We want to thank you guys for listening so much. We hope you're being safe out there. We also want to thank That Guy Brad for doing announcing, Dot Scott Productions for our equipment, Jazzar for our music, and we hope you all have an epic mythological week.
Release the Kraken!
Water sounds, water sounds. Many quests, very similar to Hercules.